Proverbs for the day, June 24th. Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 15 through 18. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. And so notice here that when we start this passage in verse 15, lay not wait, O wicked man. It's as if he's addressing a wicked man. And let's go down through this passage and think about how this might apply to a believer. First of all, the old nature is bent the wrong way. O wicked man, he said, lay not wait, O wicked man. And he might read this wicked man, so, you know. And we have within us a battle going on as a Christian. And occasionally, either forget it or you come across someone that hadn't been taught it. Perhaps nowadays, more than just occasionally. But there's a great statement in the book of Galatians made by the Apostle Paul that helps us get hold of this. And he's talking about the two natures. And he says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. He's speaking of Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael born to Hagar, Isaac born to Sarah. And he says, nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And so we are children of God. But you have in you an old nature. You won't be delivered of that till you leave this world. And the Bible says it persecutes it. And so the picture here is that it says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falls seven times and rise up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. So if he's saying it to someone who's living wickedly, it's a warning. It's a warning. Now, you know, it used to be that many a man, woman, boy, or girl, but many a man read the Bible. And they read the Bible many times just because it was considered to be, you were ignorant if you didn't know what the Bible said. Might not believe it in any way, shape, or form, so to speak, but you all know what it says. And then other people read it, and by reading it, they got saved. But let's just keep in mind that the old nature is bent the wrong way. Now, you might, I probably remind you of that a fair bit going through Proverbs, because Proverbs reminds us of that. The wicked here tries to unsettle the believer. He lays wait against the dwelling of the righteous. He says, spoil not his resting place. So the wicked is here, there in verse 15, to try to unsettle the believer. And secondly, we notice from verse 15 that the believer needs a resting place. Now that resting place is primarily the Scriptures, as far as something is tangible. The Scriptures are that. Certain decisions are that. They're resting places. Some routines help us to rest in God. They keep us in touch with the truths that help us rest in God. You know, the book of Joshua, of course, is a great book on victory. And it's a great picture of walking in the Spirit, the victorious Christian life. I think of the little book by Alan Redpath, put out so many, many years ago from his addresses and lectures. It was my blessing to know a man who had been in the older years of the English Army and had gotten out and got saved. And as a young man in his early 20s, there was a man going around his part of England. And on Saturday nights, they would hold meeting for what they called the young people, which included the late teens and the 20s. And those people who were saved didn't have to have a bunch of entertainment and stuff. In fact, what he did, he went around and taught Bible. And he grounded them in the Scriptures. That man's name was Alan Redpath. So it's a very small world, isn't it? In Joshua chapter 1, this book that deals with victorious Christian living, he said in verse 13 of chapter 1, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. He hath given it to you. In other words, it's a promised thing and it's there for our taking. Verse 15, he says, until the Lord have given you your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land. And so it was a subject of the book of Joshua, them getting into the land and having rest, even while they were occupied with occupying the land. He even, when they go to cross Jordan, he says this in chapter 3:13, it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters, that they come down from above, they shall stand upon an heap. He said, as soon as you take those feet and put them in there. Of course, the picture is getting your feet wet, and you get your feet wet, and God does the rest. A step of faith, we would say. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, which is what our subject matter here is, this wicked man using his devices to lay wait against the dwelling of the righteous and to try to spoil his resting place. And we are reminded that our Bible says here also, let me look, turn over here, Psalm 116, verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. There's times that we have to give ourselves a good old-fashioned talking to. And then we're reminded that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, he tells us to therefore labor to enter into rest. So the believer needs a resting place. Scriptures are that. Certain decisions are that. Some routines are that. All right, now back in Proverbs 24, verse 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The way is not without its downs. The way is not without its downs. Fall, you say a just man falleth seven times. Fall, yeah, as in come short. As in Romans 7, the good that I would and the evil that I wouldn't. Fall as in come short. Fall as in stumble. He uses that as a picture sometimes. I don't know if you've ever been working around something where you could stumble, or going through a yard or a place where there's roots that come above the ground and you stumble and fall, or you stumble upstairs, etc. Fall can be as in suffer a calamity. For example, he says in verse 17, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. The way of a believer, the way of a child of God, the way is not without its downs. Now, sometimes that's a rude awakening for a young Christian, or sometimes it's a rude awakening for a Christian raised in a Christian environment and home. And you shouldn't be putting a stumbling block in front of yourself or others. But the way is not without its downs. And then verses 17 and 18, the enemy is in God's hand. If it's an earthly, human enemy, you still need to keep humility. You need to keep your heart. You need to keep your head. I fear for Christians who do not get this truth. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turneth away his wrath from him. A judgment must begin at the house of God, Simon Peter said. Listen, memorize it. Practice it. Because God gave these instructions, so we must do them. The old nature is bent the wrong way, and the believer needs a resting place, because the wicked will try to unsettle him. And the way is not without its downs, and the enemy is in God's hand, so leave them there and stay humble. Oh, beware, beware, because he said, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. I think of David, Solomon's dad, who did not rejoice when his archenemy Saul was killed, when he fell permanently as far as earth goes. Let us remember that this book tells us not to do it, so we better not do it.